Few announcements to remind you of this morning. You will find them in your program. And if you read through a number of them, you'll see that best before or due by certain dates have been added to them since the last couple of weeks. And so we have a special Easter service and baptism is planned. If you want to be involved in that, you need to speak to Pastor Sampson or me before March the 11th. If you are interested in joining a ministry team to Poland, read that announcement, and you need to speak to me before March the 11th. This is all very helpful in terms of our preparations and our planning. We are financially supporting the building project in Vietnam, and that's a reminder on the bottom of page 7, and your last opportunity to make a financial donation to that is March the 18th. And one more time-sensitive issue, and that is photo day. Last week, some of you got your pictures taken in the library. If you were not able to do that last week, please do that this morning. Photos are being taken. And then, of course, as soon as I finish here, you get to go into Vernon Hall and enjoy pancakes with, I think, strawberries and bananas and whipping cream just for a donation. And so keep that in mind. I think I've hit on all the high points in the program there. And so let's pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to be gathered here and together to lift our hearts and our voices in worship. You are a great and mighty God. You are a wonderful Savior. And it is our privilege to worship you today. I pray that as we consider your word, that our hearts would be open to receive your encouragement. I pray for the Transformers Sunday School, that you would bless the students and the teachers during this time. And I pray that in all that is said and done, our hearts would be uplifted and you would be honored and you would be praised. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and redeemer. This I pray for the honor and the glory of Jesus. Amen. Can I have you find, please, the Gospel of Mark? And maybe you can find Mark chapter 10. Today, I am beginning a series of studies in the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel is what we would call a topical narrative, meaning Mark does not give complete chronological detail, as you might find, say, in a biography. But what he does is in his gospel, he gives snippets or he gives recollections of important events in the life of Jesus. Or, as I have titled this series of sermons, The Man from Galilee. Now, the gospel, it begins rather abruptly and it ends rather abruptly. As you read through it, you will sense a very fast pace about the gospel. The words immediately and at once are used very frequently by Mark in his writing. As a matter of fact, over 40 times he uses those words as he goes through his recollections. The writings in this gospel are intense, and the focus is more on what the man from Galilee did than what he actually said. 18 miracles, that's over half of Jesus' 35 recorded miracles, are found here in the Gospel of Mark. Now, who was Mark? Well, Mark was a Jewish man. He was born in Jerusalem, and he was probably from a very well-to-do family. His mother Mary, you will discover in Acts chapter 12, had a rather large house that was a meeting place for believers, and they had servants. And so Mark came from a very well-to-do family background. He was the cousin of Barnabas. And he went on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. Now, you may recall that it was Mark who deserted Paul and Barnabas on that particular journey. And it caused such a rift in the relationship with Paul, or as Acts chapter 15, 39 describes it, such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Later, however, you may also recall that this relationship between Mark and Paul was mended. And it was mended to such an extent that Paul described Mark as being of great benefit and useful for service. And I think one of Mark's greatest services to future generations was his writing of this gospel. Now, Mark wrote this gospel particularly for Gentile readers, particularly those who were Romans. In it, he takes well-chosen pictures and he paints vividly these pictures to make an immediate truth clear. A truth that is not centered on some philosophy or centered in some dogma or some religion, but centered in a remarkable man from Galilee, a man named Jesus. And the truth that he focuses in on is that the man from Galilee came to serve and to save. Now, if a key verse for this gospel were to be chosen, likely the best candidate would be Mark chapter 10. So I hope you found Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Look at what Mark 10 verse 45 says. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The man from Galilee, the Son of Man, Jesus, came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Now, throughout his gospel, Mark highlights Jesus as a servant and a sacrificial Savior. And as we look at Jesus through the eyes of Mark, we will see a man whom we will want to embrace, either for the very first time or over and over again. We will see a man who will accompany us and be the best company for us in the journey of life. We will see a servant and a Savior who offers his hand to us, and by putting our hand in his hand, we will find help, we will find encouragement, we will find support every step of the way. Now, I want us to begin in Mark chapter 1, so go back to the very first chapter and let us read there the first 11 verses, where Mark immediately presents Jesus to his audience and to us. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Now, Mark tells us at the very outset that what he is presenting is the gospel, or the good news about Jesus. Jesus is his personal name. It's the same as the Old Testament name Joshua, which means the salvation of Jehovah. Christ is an official title. It is the Greek equivalent of the term Messiah. This young man from Galilee is no ordinary man. Jesus Christ, says Mark, is the Son of God. This Jesus, this Christ, he is the Son of God. He is not an everyday servant. He is not simply a good man or an exemplary role model. He is so much more. Mark wants to make it absolutely clear at the very outset of his gospel that Jesus is divine by nature, that he is the Son of God, and that he came to serve and to save, to take away the sins of people and to walk through life with them as a companion, a friend, and a brother. Having introduced Jesus, he now quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And quoting from those verses, Mark shows that the coming of Jesus had been foretold long ago, and that in preparation for Jesus' coming, a messenger would be sent. The figure of speech here in verse 3, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." This refers to the custom of sending an officer before a monarch who was to make a royal journey. The officer would go ahead of the monarch, and his purpose would be to level and smooth out any ruts in the road so that the monarch's journey would be smoother. And so John the Baptist, or better said, John the Baptizer, came to prepare the way, to smooth out the way. John's appearance here in the desert region, or the wilderness, actually communicated a very important truth. You see, the wilderness, the desert region in Israel's history, symbolized rebellion and disobedience. In a time and in a land of rebellion and disobedience, the greatest need is for repentance and forgiveness. Now, baptism was a ritual washing from all the defilement in one's life. Baptism was a most unusual event for Jewish people who thronged from the Judean countryside and the city of Jerusalem to the Jordan River. You need to understand that baptism was considered an event only for Gentiles who were converting to Judaism. To understand what is happening, John is out in the wilderness, in the place that symbolizes rebellion and disobedience, and he is successfully preaching, and Jewish people were responding and doing something that they had never been asked to do before. These people were coming out into the wilderness. They were admitting their rebellion and disobedience. They were confessing their sins. They were repenting, and then they were being baptized. And in so doing, they were turning away from their past disobedience and rebellion, and they were turning towards Jesus, the coming Messiah. Now, this is what the world needs now. Maybe this is exactly what you need now. You need to turn away from your disobedience. You need to turn away from your rebellion. You need to turn towards Jesus. The world, and maybe your life specifically, is filled with pain and heartache and loneliness and immorality. It's filled with lack of direction or meaning, family disintegration, spiritual ambivalence, maybe fear or failure or inappropriate pride in position or possessions, any number of sins or shortcomings or sufferings. I can illustrate, but I hardly need to illustrate, the sin, the pain, the suffering, the meaningless in life. I think the news broadcasts make sure we all know about such things, and some of those things were prayed about this morning. Our world and many of our personal lives are a wilderness of disobedience and rebellion. And I don't need to illustrate, but I am going to give you just one. Melissa first did drugs when she was 11 years old. It began with marijuana. She smoked with her dad. Once at a birthday party, in front of all her friends, Melissa was given a giant joint of marijuana tied with a bow and a ribbon. It was a gift from her mother. Doing drugs, you see, was a family affair. By age 15, Melissa was also drinking, doing coke and crystal and LSD. You see, it was all a part of being the family. And now, our very own government condones and will profit from such family behaviors. You see, our land, our lives are becoming a more barren wilderness. Blatantly more disobedient and rebellious. But John the Baptizer announced, and the message for today is that there is a powerful one, verse 7, who will not baptize with water but with the Holy Spirit, verse 8. And the good news is that someone will come who is far superior to John the Baptizer. John's purpose in life was to prepare the way, or to sensitize people to their sin, to their disobedience and rebellion, so that when Jesus came, there would be an audience of people already anticipating his arrival, waiting and yearning for him, and for his help and for his salvation. And then we see in verse 9, immediately he arrives, coming from Nazareth in Galilee, Jesus submits to John's baptism. And in that particular action, we discover that the man from Galilee is deeply sympathetic to the condition and need of others. think about it for a moment. Was Jesus a rebellious and disobedient sinner in need of repentance and forgiveness? Had Jesus ever lied, stolen, or killed? Had he ever cheated on a Torah exam? Had he ever talked back disrespectfully to his mother or slandered another person? Had he ever lusted or committed fornication? No, never. He was a man from Galilee, but also the Son of God from heaven. He was sinless. He was perfect. So why did he come into this symbol, into this desert, this wilderness, to be baptized? It was not for the purpose of forgiveness, but rather to reveal his identification with the plight of men and women and his sympathy and his compassion for those impacted by sin. Jesus did not need baptism, but he accepted it so that he might proclaim his identity with human nature and so that he might share in the predicament of people. And as he did this, you see that the heavens tore open. And the Spirit descended upon him, and a voice from heaven made a most profound and beautiful affirmation. You are my Son. I love you. I am very pleased with you. In this barren wilderness, the triune God is present. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this barren wilderness, the unique identity of the man from Galilee as divine God is affirmed. In this barren wilderness, Jesus is presented and anointed and empowered to engage in the purpose of his life. The purpose of his life was to be a servant and Savior. Isaiah had long ago spoken about the purpose of the coming servant and Savior. And he spoke about this in Isaiah chapter 61. And although Mark does not mention this in his gospel, Luke happens to record it in his gospel. And so I want to read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, because there Luke presents Jesus the servant at the start of his ministry. So in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we see that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah is handed to Jesus, and he unrolls it, and he reads from the scroll these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The ministry of the man from Galilee, announced and prepared for by John the Baptizer, empowered by God the Spirit, and lovingly affirmed by God the Father, this ministry to preach good news and to proclaim freedom and recovery of sight and release to the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, this ministry continues to this very day. Jesus extends his hand to all of us every day, and he offers us good news. He offers us freedom and recovery of sight and release from whatever oppresses us. There is a story from World War II about a father who ran from a burning building holding the hand of his small son. The bombs were falling everywhere. The sky was lit up red. In the front yard of the building that they were fleeing was a large crater which had been formed by an exploding shell. Seeking shelter as soon as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his young son to follow. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." The father's response was, "But I can see you, jump." And the boy jumped because he trusted his father. Jesus' hand is continually held out towards you. You can trust him. No matter what pain or disappointment you are experiencing today, reach out to him and put your hand in his hand. No matter what worry or confusion you are wrestling with today, you can trust him. Reach out to him and put your hand in his hand. Because Jesus loves you, he will be your help and your security. Put your hand in his hand and allow him to serve you and to save you. Jesus is presented to us today not as one who came to be served, but as one who came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to encourage you to spend just a few moments in prayer now. And whatever it is that troubles you today, whatever it is you are wrestling with today, would you take that and put your trust in Jesus and ask him to help you in that situation, in that circumstance, to help you with that concern. Reach out your hand and put your hand in his hand because you can trust him. Let's spend a few moments in prayer before we close. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to serve and to save. We are so very thankful that you are one in whom we can trust. I pray that in whatever circumstance, whatever difficulty, whatever disappointment or challenge that people are facing today, that they would reach out and put their hand in your hand and experience your help. Thank you for this privilege of knowing you and being able to put our trust in you. Would you please stand with me now, and we want to give God glory. Now in your journeys to and fro, Jesus, direct you. In your happiness and pleasure, Jesus, bless you. In care, anxiety, or trouble, Jesus, sustain you. In peril and in danger, Jesus, protect you. And may the grace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen.